Today's guest for one-on-one is Aleš Březina, the head of the Bohuslav Martinů Institute in Prague. Mr. Březina has spent the last 12 years compiling, annotating, and publicizing the work of Martinů, perhaps the greatest Czech composer of the 20th century. But that's not all he's been up to. Mr. Březina is a composer in his own right, providing the soundtracks for films such as Musíme si pomáhat, or Divided We Fall, by Jan Hřebejk, and Jiří Menzel's Obsluhoval jsem anglického krále, I Served the King of England. As if that wasn't enough, Aleš Březina is just putting the finishing touches to his first opera, called Zítra se bude, and based upon the show trial of Milada Horáková, sentenced to death by the Czech communist government in 1950. When I caught up with Aleš Březina last week, I started by asking him whether his close work with Martinů's music had had any effect upon his own composition.
I would be happy to think so, but I have to admit that I myself started to compose music only some 12 or 13 years ago, seriously. I was asked by several of my friends to write music for their movies, and by chance it happened that my friends became quite successful film directors, and step by step I became more and more involved into composing music, and several people started to ask me, what do you write for classical music? Music for concert stations, so it's just by chance. So I started this institute not as a composer but as a musicologist. I would be happy to say that I learned something from Martinů, but I think the only thing I learned from him is a very general one. You have to work every day.
So, I mean, you are working with Martinů every day. Do you not get a bit sick of him sometimes, or does he always surprise you?
Martinů is an ocean. So you can find so many, it's dozens of works, and even now after some 12 years of directing this institute, I still discover pieces I never heard, small songs, and you can even discover pieces lost in Europe, which were lost during Martinu's escape from the Nazi-occupated France. You are surprised almost every day.
But back to your composing. You referred earlier to some of the directors that you started to work with as your friends, and a very famous one, a very successful one, is Jan Hřebejk. So I was wondering if you could tell me just a bit about your relationship between you and him being the director of films like Horem Padem and Musíme si pomáhat, and you being the creator of a soundtrack for those films.
At the beginning of our friendship was just that we liked the same literature and the same music, and we just loved to meet each other. It was back in 1985. When we met in Prague. At that time, he wasn't accepted to study at the Film Academy, so he had a year off, and we spent almost, I would say, almost every day together. He lived in my flat, because I had a very nice flat at the Karlova Street, so in the middle, whereas he lived in Řeporie, which is quite far away from Prague, and we spent many times together going to concerts, going to theaters, and so at that time, he didn't think he would be a film director. He thought he would write scripts for a film, and at that time I would never describe myself as being a composer. But then he was accepted to study at the Film Academy, and he started to make short films and study films, and he was in bad need for some music, and I was the only professional musician he knew personally, so he asked me, and I recorded first as a violinist some pieces for him. And then it was quite obvious that other people from his class, such as Petr Zelenka, came to ask me to do something for their film. So I did some arrangements for Petr Zelenka's Vysací zámek, for his Mňága Happy End. And then Petr asked me to write the music for his first full-length film, which was called The Buttoners, Knoflíkáři.
What do you think, as someone who now has a lot of experience writing soundtracks, a soundtrack should do to a film? Is it a case of complimenting the film or telling the story that maybe words can't? What would you suggest?
It shouldn't go with the text. It shouldn't go with the general mood. It should go against the grain, because you have the possibility to do films without music. I mean, only yesterday I saw this wonderful Romanian film, 4 months, three weeks and 2 days, which comes out absolutely without music, and that's a marvelous film. But I think if you work with music, it's much better not to do what other elements of the film are doing, not to do what you see, and so not to be a sort of supporter of what is obvious, but to go against the grain. And that's the case, let's say, in one famous scene in Musíme si pomáhat, Divided We Fall, where you can see the crowds lynching young Germans in the streets of a small town. And I wrote for that a sort of happy Czech brass music, and the musicians didn't know for which scene it is, so they played it out of the full. They did it with full mood, and suddenly one of them saw on the screen what is happening, that it's very violent scene, and they became absolutely scared by that, and they recorded that. After they saw it, they recorded it in a completely different way. Of course, we used the first one because we wanted exactly this funny, without any sorrows, these atmospheres. And I mean, it happens in films like Obsluhoval jsem anglického krále, that you should never, as I'm convinced, you should never do the work of someone else. You should do your own work, and the music should be an additional.
My next question's on a slightly different subject, which is your latest work, or the thing that you're still working on, am I correct? Mm-hmm. This opera about the trial of Milada Horáková, which is going to be called Zítra se bude.
So the trial was for me the main subject of the opera, and I thought it's good to do it about the theatrical aspect of the trial, because they prepare that as you prepare a theater play. Someone writes the words, then you have a director, then you have the actors, they have to learn it by memory, and then you have some rehearsals, and then there's the first night. And that's exactly what happened in this trial. And it was interesting to me to see how a society which some 12 years ago, I mean, back in 1938-39, was for people like Karl Popper the incorporation of a highly developed democratic society could turn after just 12 years into a society which is not only able to accept this obvious inaccuracy and this obvious violence, but also to help to make it happen.
This opera and a lot of the films you do are very, very particularly Czech. I mean, do you feel this great sense of patriotism? You're still living in Prague after all these years. You've just made an opera about Milada Horáková, a national emblem.
I mean, I am Czech, and that's my history. And it's history of my mother, it's history of my parents, of my grandparents. And when I started to work on this opera, I asked several people from our family and then their friends about it. And they were absolutely afraid to talk on it. We are now 18 years or 70 years after the Velvet Revolution. And people who grew up during the communist time are still feeling like it's not over. And that was for me the main deal with this opera. I just wanted to, of course, one can write opera on Frida Kahlo, but I mean, Frida Kahlo is not my cup of tea. I don't know nothing about Mexican culture in the 20th century. I know nothing about Diego Rivera and his understanding of communist regime and so. I mean, I know a lot about Czechoslovakia in the 20th century. I know a lot about the feelings of people from my family and of my friends, and I thought this is something I have simply to write, because no one else is going to do that.